This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
We are joined by Martin Dippenaar, who is the CEO at Global Kinetic. Martin, good evening and welcome to the show.
Hi, Sophisa. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Sure. And I mean, you know, getting into, I guess, applying algorithms to workplace conflict and how that possibly could save millions. Maybe just give us a bit of a contextual framework around that.
Right. So can we just quickly first talk about workplace conflict and the cost involved in that? And then I think the algorithms will make more sense in terms of what we're doing.
Happy.
But there's a couple of reasons why conflict is really costly in the context of the workplace. The first one is, and I think all of us have been working in teams and have been in situations where we experience conflict in the workplace. So I think this is something that most of us have experienced. And what happens is quite a number of hours is used by various people in the organization when there's conflict in the workplace. So that is the one aspect. The second aspect is, as conflict progresses and as these things become more intense, a specific situation becomes more intense, more and more people get involved in the problem, and specifically in this inside a team context, which starts affecting the focus of the team, and that reduces the quality of the output of that team. Mm. And then the last thing is, it results in people basically eventually resigning. So the idea behind workplace conflict is, the sooner you can catch it, the sooner you can manage it, and you can prevent all these other knock-on effects like people leaving. The last thing I want to say to you about that is that when you are in a workplace conflict environment, what we find is that members in the team that are not actually directly affected by the situation that caused the conflict in the first place get severely affected by the conflict. And even when you fix a situation between, let's say, the two initial people that in between who the conflict occurred, the rest of the team is still sort of backing to come back to the level of focus and quality that they had before.
Sure. And I mean, just on that, and before I guess we get into, some of the kind of possible remedial approaches we could think about, as you're talking, I'm actually kind of saying maybe even one more step back is saying, what is conflict in the way in which we are talking about in this particular context, and what are the measurement metrics for it, right? Because I guess there's active conflict, there's passive conflict, and then also kind of, there's a boss coming down on a colleague. Is that conflict, or is that just a disciplinary process? So what are the things that help us at this point in time, one, understand what conflict is, and then the metrics of its measurement?
Yes. So I mean, as humans, we are emotional and complicated and complex. So conflict takes on various different types of guises. In the guise that I'm talking about is specifically in the team environment, which I think where most people work. And what we find is that quite often when there's a conflict situation that happens between, let's say, two people, it's normally between two people, the initial event that caused that conflict is quite often a really benign thing. You know, somebody said something that somebody else misunderstood or took offense to without the other person meaning it. And, initially those people may not realize that there's a conflict situation brewing, but as time goes past, these situations start to blow up. So there's various different areas. You were talking about managers. We also find that in terms of team behavior, sometimes the managers themselves are the problem. Mm. So you need a way to identify and measure conflict. And it's possible. It's in the past it used to be this sort of black magic thing, I guess. That people thought was touchy feely, and it sort of in a way is, but it is very definitely measurable and identifiable, using the right processes.
Sure. And I guess, I'm teeing up the conversation to ultimately then kind of the early detection, the management approaches that can come. But ultimately, we need to get into kind of some identifiable variables. And I think that's the part I'm trying to get to, Martin, is, what are those variables that we then analyze to ultimately get to a point of being able to even cost it, right, in terms of hours lost, culture, attrition, and all of those things.
Absolutely. So just out of interest, you mentioned, you know, the cost. The cost, just out of interest, in the U.S., just in terms of the hours that are used in terms to manage conflict, is about $360 billion a year. And if you translate that to the South African environment, it's probably in the region of $2 to $3 billion. And that is just the hours that are used to try and you know, manage the cost. What we do is we use software that picks up a whole bunch of data points. And I can tell you in a second more detail how that works. But we pick up a lot of data around the behavior of people and how people are working together so that we can have an in-depth insight into that team and how those people are working together. You know, if you think about it, it's a team of 5 or 6 people. Each person has got a relationship with every other person in the team as well as with themselves, you know, the way they're feeling about how things are going and what is happening. So we use a couple of concepts, I guess, if you want to call it that. The one is we have software that people use to review each other on a regular basis, let's say every 2 weeks or every month, depending on what the situation with that team is. People are in multiple teams, so they can people review each other in multiple areas. And then we also look at sort of the objective part of the team output. So teams quite often, you know, have KPIs or some objective that they need to attain. So we can combine those things and look at, is this team achieving what they're supposed to be achieving? And then we can look at how are these people relating to each other? And, you know, with enough data, we can process the data and we can figure out who is in conflict with each other. So much so that we can identify two people who are conflicted before those individuals actually are aware of the fact that they're conflicting.
Sure. And I mean, on the other side of this argument, Martin, is that conflict can be healthy and it actually can result in more productive relationships as well. And so I'm not entirely convinced that it only applies on a negative impact for the team dynamic. It could result in healthier kind of net outcomes for the team. Are you then modeling those as well as then hours gained back in terms of productivity, in terms of culture, in terms of all of those things as well? Because we have to triangulate.
Yeah, so the times that we've seen conflict that has been, in the way that I've described, that's been positive. I'm not saying not having a positive outcome after it's been managed is rare. You know, normally what happens is there is a conflict. Quite often it's a misunderstanding. Once that is managed and managed with the individuals that are conflicted, quite often the bond with those people or the team is stronger. So there definitely is that. I agree with you that, and that is what one would want to achieve. I mean, what we want to do in the business context is we want to remove all the things that are potential annoyances or conflicts to people inside their teams or inside the workplace so that they can focus on what they need to do, you know, and have the highest quality output. Does that answer what you were asking me?
Not necessarily. And I mean, the reason I'm saying is that, I mean, we are, you know, ultimately this comes down to some kind of binary assessment of zeros and ones that ultimately come out and kick out a score, right? Based on, you know, the average, let's say, average cost per worker, per hour, etc. And ultimately comes up with a cost of hours spent towards conflict resolution. And I'm saying that there's potential net gains that could be realized here as well. It could actually result in lower levels of attrition, better culture. And so ultimately, this must be an equation that says 40 billion minus 15, the net effect of conflict resolution is X and Y and Z.
Yes, absolutely. So what we find is, if I can just give you another piece of information that we found in our studies, is that when you rely on a human or manager to detect that there's conflict in a team, and I'll get back to what you were asking me in a second. That takes about 6 to 8 weeks for a human to detect that there's a problem in a team. So by that time, it really is too late, and it's a really expensive exercise to try and fix that. So what we need to do is identify these conflicts earlier on so that we can intervene earlier. But yes, you're right. I mean, conflict in itself, I mean, it doesn't mean somebody is bad. I mean, it doesn't mean people are bad. It means that there is a situation that needs to be resolved in general. I mean, in general, I'm not saying that's always the case, but that's the situation in general. So what we find is that, you know, conflict, let's say conflict that is not managed, normally spins out to situations that are definitely not good. So if you can detect that conflict earlier, then you would have the situation that you're talking about. So the sooner you can detect that conflict, the less time people are going to spend trying to you know, manage that conflict, because you caught it early. People are not going to resign, and you know, the team is going to be healthier from a team conflict perspective.
Are we, again, you know, for every kind of good technological development, sometimes there could be negative spillovers. Are we not potentially running a risk of trying to create these like homogenous cultures, right? Because even the definition of conflict in different cultures means different things. By different genders, it means different things. And that's what makes diverse teams functional and work. And that's why we support diversity, because people bring different perspectives, even in their own understanding of, let's say, conflict. And so does I this agree. Not potentially put at risk of kind of homogenizing culture, which I think then loses the benefit of diversity in team structures?
Yes, I would say, you know, each company has its own culture, and hopefully that culture is driven from the top down in that organization. And I would say that, you know, if you are defining your conflict and you're defining, you know, how you are reviewing people, or how you are, experiencing people in the workplace in the context of your culture or your values that you establish as your business, I think you would have a good outcome. So I hear what you're saying, and I would say yes, if we all said, okay, these are the cultural values that we must all have across the board, that would happen. But companies are all different, and all companies have got different cultures and different values that are important to them, you know. And I think as long as you stay true to those values, and when you're reviewing people, you're reviewing them within the context of that, I think you would have the right output.
Sure. Lots of technological developments that are certainly, I think, aiming at, ensuring our enterprises operate at the highest level of efficiency, as well as, of course, at the best level of the culture in that particular organization. Martin, thank you very much. And certainly, I think, quite an interesting conversation to unpack.
Thank you so much for speaking to me. Thank you.
Power listener, that was Martin Tippenaar, who is the CEO of Global Kinetic. And of course, they're getting into a point of applying algorithms for early detection of enterprise-wide conflict. And certainly then, hopefully, that can inform, I think, more change management type of solutions from a leader's point of view to ensure that they've got a more harmonious working environment.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.